Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. It is good to be back together again. Am I on? Hello. You hear me? Okay. Very good. That's all we need to know. I can hear myself. That's all that's necessary, right? Some of you are suspecting that. Well, you just need to hear yourself, Pastor. I've just been so grateful for those that have been here. And many of you have been out there in internet land, and you've been a part. But now we get to be back together. Pretty soon, we'll have everybody back together in this place, and we're looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. But I want to commend you for those of you that were able to come today, and I'm getting a little bit of a ring here. Maybe dial me down or just a little bit. And so we were able to space out the chairs. So thankful for those that came out on Saturday to get ready. And so thankful for the donations of hand sanitizer from a school that had shut down. And somebody that was connected with that school went and was able to go pick up those that the kids had brought for the teacher. And so they went, cleaned out the classrooms, and we got a whole shopping bag full of that. And so we had a resource for masks, for those that need to wear masks. And so we have all of that ready to go. And we're ready for this to be over, right?
Yes.
We are ready for this to be over. Now, we will be, men, we're meeting tonight. The ladies are meeting probably over in the multi-purpose building. We'll be over here, either in the back room or in here. We're starting up a Bible study, seeing me in the men of the Bible.
Yes.
And so we're going to be moving through that. For those of you who like to do that, we certainly could Zoom that. But right now, I think anybody that would do that is probably going to be here. We'll see, and we'll work that out. Tuesdays, we're going to be here on campus in the multi-purpose building for True Seekers. And so we continue on there, and who knows where we'll go. I am so tempted to go off into the book of Daniel and Revelation. And at the same time, I'm so tempted to go through Hebrews. So if we do one in True Seekers, I'm going to do another one online, and I'm going to get both of them done. We're going to do both things, and some of you will say, there is just too much video there, Pastor. It's okay. You don't have to watch it. You don't have to watch it. We're just going to put it out there and believe that somewhere around the world, somebody's clicking and listening, and I'm looking forward to eternity for the main reason is we get to see Jesus.
Right.
We get to look upon the glory of the Father,
yes, sir.
And we get to meet people who have been affected by us, and we didn't even know it. And the people who are going to be able to come up to us and say, you don't know me, but that message from Wise and Wonderful, that message from a Sunday morning Pastor Cindy preached, that message when Pastor Brian shared, that message from Truth Seekers, whatever it is, and we say, really? I say, yeah, that changed my life. You know, it's not about us. It's about the power of the Word of God. That's what it's about. It's about the power of the Word of God. And so, I don't know if you're aware of this, but today is a celebration. It's on the calendar. It's a Jewish feast, and it's where we get the basis of our name. It is Pentecost. And so, today I want to preach to you about, on aftermath, the fullness of Pentecost. Now, don't you know those disciples were walking through an aftermath? What was the aftermath that they were walking through? What had rocked their world? What had turned their world upside down was that a man that had called them and they had walked with for 3 years, and they had seen walk through crowds untouched. They had seen raise people from the dead, open blind eyes, walk on water, and said, what manner of man is this that even the elements obey him? The wind and the waves lay down at his feet. They find after 3 years of walking with him and miraculous provision, seeing bread fed to 5,000 out of some loaves and some fishes, they had seen heaven touch earth. And then they see him drop his hands, open up, and lay down his life. And now their world is turned upside down. All their plans for the future, smashed. Everything on their calendar, crossed off. Everything was changed. And so they went, walked through an aftermath. And how many of you know that God provides for us to walk through an aftermath? I'm so glad, so grateful for that. So I wanted to say by introduction, we have found ourselves as a nation, the entire nation is living out the events, has lived out the events of the Passover and unleavened bread. Did you realize that? We're not very oriented as American and Western Christians towards the idea of the Jewish feast, but if we understand what they are, I'm not advocating that we go celebrate them by the letter of the law. I'm saying if we understand what they are and what they mean, then we will become sensitive to seeing them pop up everywhere in Scripture. There is so much Scripture that makes so much more sense when we realize that they were going according to the feast of Leviticus 23. And at this, I'm going to have a shameless commercial and say, if you'd like to know more, go to True Seekers. And there's a couple on the fall spring feast, and now we're on the fall feast. And this is the tail end of the spring feast, because how many of you know we're still in the spring? Until June. And they're still in the spring in Israel until June. And so we've already seen Passover, unleavened bread, the waving of the first fruit, then the counting of the Omer, and we're coming into today, actually coincides on Sunday on the Jewish calendar as Pentecost. Everybody say Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Now, in the Assemblies of God, we refer to ourselves as Pentecostals. Pentecostal believers. Now, in America, if you say, I'm a Pentecostal, some people, depending on where you're at, immediately think, okay, no makeup, I'll dress way down to the ground, and hair up in a bun. And because there are people who are called the United Pentecostals, or Pentecostals, or Apostolics, that when that part of the country, when you hear that word Pentecostal, you immediately think of that. I'm going to ask you to not think of that. I'm going to ask you to expand your mind now. I'm going to ask you at home to expand your mind now. Say, it's Sunday morning. Yes, it's okay to expand your mind on a Sunday morning. And we are walking into an understanding then of what was going on this feast of Pentecost. Now, I just made the comment that we have been living out the events of Passover and unleavened bread. How have we done that? Do you know that the people of Israel all were quarantined into their homes on Passover?
Yes, sir.
Do you know that this year, as Passover began in Israel, the quarantine began in Israel?
Yes, sir.
The exact day,
yes, sir,
of Passover.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that interesting? Now, when I see stuff like that, some people want to call that coincidence. That gets my attention, and right now I'm feeling doodads kind of going up my leg and up my back and around my hairline and stuff. And no, it's not a spider. How many of you know what doodads are? It's that when something hits you a certain way and you just go, whoa. I believe that there's times that the Holy Spirit kind of nudges us that way. Those Holy Ghost doodads, we used to refer them to. Some of you say, I didn't feel that. Say, well, maybe I'm standing in front of the air conditioner. Okay? So, goosebumps, some people say. But it's just like one of those wow moments. They were quarantined in Israel on Passover. In the United States, people have been under quarantine, basically. And you know what they've been doing? Cleaning out their houses. The trash men have been working double overtime. All of the honeydew lists have come out. They've been cleaning out houses. Stuff is piled by the curb. Fence, old fences are down. All those jobs. There's jobs done around my house I've been putting off, and I got them done. Hallelujah. The angels sang. And so this is what the Israelites would do, is at the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they would clean out their houses and make sure there was no unleavened bread. We've actually been somewhat forced to celebrate unleavened bread. Now, it's extended beyond the feast, but I think that's interesting. Now, there is a feast that we're touching on today, and it's Pentecost. And you know what I hope and what I pray is that today be a day that is significant in the life of Vision Church, in the life of America,
yes,
that there is a renewal and a Pentecost that visits us this morning. Amen?
Yes,
a renewal, a fresh wind of the Spirit. And how many of you just slip up a hand right now and say, Lord, I'm in for that. I'm in for that. So we have so far as a nation been pulled into this. I'm just saying, Father, if you could take us as a nation into the celebration of Pentecost, that would be awesome. And count me in. Amen? Count me in. So in Acts chapter 1, verse number 12, we pick up on an idea that then we leaks over into Acts chapter 2, the whole chapter. 10 days from the ascension to the outpouring. There is 10 days between the time that Jesus goes up and the angel says, "What, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing upward into heaven? This same one who has gone away from you in like manner shall return." How many of you know Jesus is coming back? There is a return and it is certain Jesus is coming back. And this is a blessed hope for us. This is something that percolates in our spirit. So there were 10 days. What did they do during that 10 days? They gathered together in obedience to what Jesus said. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." You can read that in the last chapter of the book of Luke and the first couple chapters of the book of Acts. He says, "But first, wait in Jerusalem for that which I have promised you." Wait. So what are they doing for 10 days? Waiting. How many of you just love to wait? Huh? Don't you just love waiting? You love to be on the phone? Someone will be with you in just a moment, and they have the cheesiest music playing in your ear. You're waiting at the doctor. You're waiting in line for this and waiting in line. 6 feet separation, even more. You have to wait until 3 people come out of the store before you and your family can go in. All this kind of waiting. And so we become very uncomfortable and very fidgety during waiting. And we tend to get distracted and go away. But what did they do? They obeyed Jesus and they pressed in and they waited in Jerusalem. So, Pentecost is the Greek name for the Hebrew feast, Shavuot. Seven sevens, he said. Wait 7 weeks, add a day, get together on Sunday, and celebrate the coming summer harvest and fall harvest. 7 weeks from the first Sabbath in unleavened bread, plus a day, and that's where we get to Passover, to Pentecost. Now, Passover and Pentecost both recognize harvest. Passover recognizes the spring harvest, the barley harvest, and early harvest. And then in the fall, there is coming another harvest. And that's what they're celebrating at Pentecost. There's a spring harvest and a summer or fall harvest. So the disciples were primed and readied by Jesus for what? Harvest. So when you think Pentecost, think harvest. Pentecost is critical to launch them into harvest. Let me just say that Pentecost is critical for us at Vision Church to launch us into harvest. Now, there's something we've been doing, and I want to make this connection right here. We have an email address that Pastor Cindy has been assigned, and she'll say, "What, really?" No, I'm just called outreach@visionchurch.ag. Outreach@visionchurch.ag. Now, we have been praying for lost loved ones. And here's what I want to do. I want us to step up our game because we're going to have to pray. Jesus said, "Pray for workers in the harvest," right? Yes, the harvest. So there is a preparation and a prayer that we need to do. And here this summer, I want us to get ready, coming off of this Pentecost, to get ready pointing towards the fall. And it's okay if God brings an early harvest, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But how many of you want to see a harvest of people that you know and people that you love that you want to see come to Jesus? Amen? How many of you want to do that? Yeah. Everybody's hands up, whether it's really up or not, right? Now, I want us to go to another level here. I'd like for you to take that email address, outreach@visionchurch.ag, and I'd like for you to send a picture of this person. If you're not comfortable with that, I understand. At least a bio, basic information, something you don't mind seeing publicly. And they wouldn't mind seeing publicly. You know, pray for my brother in Alaska, or pray for my sister in Maryland or in Virginia or whatever it might be. And this is the basic situation. He knew the Lord as a child, but he seems to have walked away since. Or just something cursorial. It doesn't have to be in depth. We're not looking for 3 pages. Because we want to put these on a card. The picture and the person's name and the basic rundown. And I want to take a cross or some other suitable thing, and I want us to put those names on that. And when we come together for prayer, that we pray over those names. That somebody, when we come together for prayer early in the morning, that we pray over those names. And on Sunday, when we talk about praying for those names, you know that name is up there and that picture is up there. And I'm expecting a harvest of those people. We might not see that harvest in this building, but I believe we'll also see a harvest in this building. And that we will be a congregation that just is willing from this day forward to say, we have got to have a harvest. We're coming out of this aftermath and it's harvest time. We're coming out of this aftermath and the fields are wide unto harvest. People's hearts are failing them for fear. They're struggling. And this is the perfect time. We need to get our act together, Lord. We need to wait upon you. We need to be energized and charged up. And we need to go into the harvest with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Put your hands together with an amen right there. So, I'm not like Pastor Steve. I don't have a clap machine, so I can't push that button. And so, you at home, I hope you participated with that. So, let's just go through this, and then I'm going to encourage you to come to the devotionals, because at any time during the day, you don't have to be up at 7, even though that's when they're posted. But we're going to process through this message for 7 days and really drill down on this and let it get into our spirit, because I know we don't have time to get it all into our spirit this morning. Amen? And some of this is going to feel like you're drinking from a fire hose. That's okay. We'll redo it in the form of our devotions each morning. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, doesn't it feel good to be all together in one place this morning? We all love Jesus. We love each other. We're praying for each other. We felt His grace. But there's something that happens when you assemble yourselves together, isn't there? There's something that happens when you assemble yourself together and worship together, magnify the Lord together, when there is preaching declared and the Word of God is declared. There's this something that washes over us. So there's something powerful that happens there. And while we have freedom to do that, let's do it, and all the more. Amen? Now, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, the reason this is restated, because it's speaking of more than simply being in a room. How many of you have been in a room with people you didn't want to be with? Don't point to anybody in this room, please. So you can be in the same place, but not all together. What's happened over the 10 days? Arguments and fight have not broken out. They have become one. They have come together out of their aftermath. And things have been stripped out of their life, things that seemed to be important before, not as important. The things that had distracted them are not distracting them any longer. They have been with Jesus for 40 days. He's been talking to them and showing Himself alive with many infallible proofs. And something has happened. They are now focused like a laser beam, and they have let the unimportant things go and the most important things come, and their things have shifted in their life, and they are now walking out in obedience, unbeknownst to them possibly, the prayer of Jesus in the garden. And what was His prayer? Father, that they might be one, even as You and I are one. So what's happening? Jesus' prayer for His disciples is not just occurring for these 12 guys who can't get along on the road, who are always arguing and jockeying for position. It's now been magnified. There are 120 people in this room. And what are they? In one mind and one accord. It's tough to have two people. And all the married people said, yeah, we're one, but we're not always all together. Right? Now, some people say, what happens when you have three? Oh my goodness, now you've just exponentially raised the problem. But you put 120 people in a room, that these 120 people have seen Jesus, He's appeared to them, He has gathered them to Himself, He has shown Himself alive, and these people are sold out and dedicated. There are 120 people, men and women, in this room together, and what are they doing? In obedience to Jesus, waiting for the promise from on high. They don't know what it's going to be like. They have no idea what the future is going to look like, but they do know one thing. They love Jesus. They all love Jesus. And they're in one mind and one accord. There is unity. Lord, let there be unity in this room. Let this be a church of unity. Let us have a mind of coming together and saying, through this aftermath, this is not as important as I thought it was, but this is important. I would dare say that everybody in this room would agree with me in saying, you know, being in church together is much more important than I used to think it was. Hello? I think some minds have changed. I think some attitudes have shifted, and you found yourself being restored to a position of, hey, we get to go back to church. It's like Christmas morning. It's not the ho-hum 52 times a year, but it's been a long time, and I'm ready to get back. Let that just stir in our spirit and surface in a fresh unity. Amen? Okay. So the 3, the 12, the 20, the 72, and the 120 all had something in common. They had often been in one place, but had never been all together. Jesus had prayed for unity, and now Acts chapter 1, verse 15 says, there were about 120. So let's go on. I think I duplicated a slide accidentally, and we'll go on to say this. The aftermath is a great place and time to discover common ground in unity. Amen? Number 2. Some of you say, about time, Pastor. We have 7 points. Won't take long. I wanted to establish that foundation. Here we go. You ready to listen? Ready to move on? Okay. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. How many of you would like to have that sound come and fill this room? Huh? Do it again, Lord. Right? Do it again, Lord. I wouldn't mind being known as the church of the mighty wind. We could change some logos around here, right? It wouldn't take much. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. What does this speak of? The rushing in, Pastor Steve mentioned it earlier, of life. The Spirit now manifests Himself as the Ruach. Everybody say Ruach. Don't spit on your neighbor. Ruach. Life, breath. How is it that you're alive? Because you're breathing. You are breathing in and out. And how many of you noticed you have 2 lungs? We know that we can live with just one, right? But we're born typically, normally, with 2. Isn't that amazing? 2 lungs for our breathing. This is the second thing about the fullness of the Spirit. Number 2. There is a breathing from heaven. Jesus had predicted this and prophesied this with them when he said, breathe upon them, it says, receive the Holy Spirit. And now there is a sudden rushing mighty wind. Why is there a sudden rushing mighty wind? I believe it because it's been pent up and waiting for this very day. He wanted it to be days earlier, but it's on God's calendar. And how many of you know when the fullness of time comes, these things happen? Jesus in the fullness of time was born, and now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in the right place, in the right mind, in the right spot, ready, and what happens? When God says go, the Holy Spirit says, I'm there. And there is a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Why was it rushing? Because the Holy Spirit's in a hurry. The Holy Spirit can hardly wait to come and be with you, upon you, and in you, as Jesus prophesied. It's the next step. Just as Jesus had come incarnated in the womb of a virgin, now the Holy Spirit, it's His time. There's a nod, a divine nod, and the Holy Spirit knows that over all these thousands of years, finally, not just the occasional prophet, but now I can be in and with and among and upon the people of God without distinction, whosoever will, I can be with them. And what does He do? He rushes in and He fills the room. Life fills the room. Suddenly from heaven, filled where they were. And life has a suddenly to it. Life, things happen in life very suddenly. Have you noticed that? Positive things can happen suddenly. Negative things can happen suddenly. And I'm here to tell you, godly things often happen suddenly. And you've got to seize the moment. Life is supposed to fill up the spaces. The breath of God is supposed to fill up the lack and the emptiness and the spots. And so I want to ask you to just today, Just lift up your hands towards heaven. Let's just do that right now and say, Lord, we have two lungs and we can draw in a lung full of air. But, oh, Lord, we want to just breathe in the air of heaven. We want the Ruach of God to fill our being. Right in this place, we want you to rush and fill and come and fill the empty spaces with life. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We might find ourselves praying a few times through this sermon. Is that all right? Okay. So, number three, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Tongues of fire which separated and came to rest on each of them. Why? Because there is divine purpose. This is number three. When we're speaking of divinity and God, what are we speaking of? The Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have a purpose, and now they're involving us. How many of you like to be in on the divine purpose? To think about, what purpose does my life have? I'm here to tell you some great news. Your life has a divine purpose. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have thought together, conspired together, dreamed together, and have built you, and you alone can do certain things, and you alone can perform certain functions. And if you will tap into the divine purpose, if you will give yourself over to the divine purpose, there will come a passion and a fire to your life. And you will be able to do things you never thought you could do before. You will find yourself called higher, and you will be called into places you never thought you could function. But I'm here to tell you some great news. If it's a divine purpose, and it's a divine purpose for your life, He will work in you both to will and to do His good pleasure, and He will equip you by the power of His Spirit. And He who has raised Christ up from the dead is able to quicken you, do something with you, change you, transform you, and move you into an adequacy to do that thing that He's purposed you to do. Amen. Would you put your hands together and thank the Lord for that? Divine purpose. Wow. How many of you know people are looking for purpose? You'll find it in Jesus. You will find it in the fullness of the Spirit. Purpose. Number four. Well, what could four mean? Remember, Jesus had called them to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. How many things are listed there? Four. Four. Some of you are saying, why are you using your thumb? Okay. Four. Four things. What are the cardinal directions upon the earth? Ordinal directions. North, south, east, west. Right? What is it speaking of? God has a purpose for you, number four, on the earth. He has a purpose for His church. He has a purpose for this church. And it is something that goes to the north and the south and the east and the west. What is the center of your home? He has something for you from the north to the south to the east to the west. What do we do as a country? We have something to the north and the south and the east and the west. There is a calling upon our life that we go into all of the earth by internet. We're getting around the globe, folks. People are clicking in, tuning in. All over the globe, they might even just be looking for an English lesson. Boy, they're getting more than they bargained for, aren't they? They could get a heavenly language lesson. So all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And you know what happened? There were people from all over the earth who were visiting Jerusalem, converts to Judaism, who were there for the Feast of Pentecost. And they're there and they say, how are these Galilean fishermen who say, y'all, jeet yet? Unto? How is it that these Galilean fishermen that don't know much but fishing can actually speak with our native language of the Cappadocians and the Elamites and the Persians and can speak the glorious wonders of God with our accent without missing a beat and using perfect grammar? That's miraculous, folks. Don't you know the God who can confuse a language at Babel can grant a language at Pentecost? What's He telling them? You don't have to be afraid to go to the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'll tell you what to say when you get there. I'll tell you what accent to use. I'll even give you the language if you need it. And I will give you a language that will allow you to converse because this glorious gospel needs to be talked about. Well, there was a big round of amens right there. This glorious gospel deserves and needs to be talked about. How will they hear without somebody proclaiming? And how will somebody proclaim unless they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. You're a good news bringer. There are people to the north, the south, and the east, and the west of you that need for you to open your mouth and speak to them about something other than recipes and sports. They need them. They need somebody to converse with them and bring up in conversation. Don't kick a soapbox over, stand up with a placard that says, "You're going to hell, you're a sinner." But strike up a conversation with them. Pray about it and say, "Lord, help me to speak their language. Help me to understand where they're at. And help me to give a testimony about you." That's what Pentecost is about. It's about a harvest. And that harvest is prepared by speaking. And that harvest is brought in by speaking. Now, I get it. Be a witness. And whenever necessary, use words. But many of us bail out and say, "I'll just live for Jesus and maybe they can see my light shine." But they also need to feel your salt. Hello? And they need to hear your voice. They need to hear your testimony. They need to hear the experience that you have had with Jesus. Because this can transform and change their life. Communication with whosoever will in the harvest call to the world. Lord, anoint us. Let's just pray right now. Lord, would you just help me with a boldness in releasing my tongue and doing something in my mind and in my thinking so I will not be intimidated. And Lord, help me to listen more carefully to other people and in a conversational way, bring up what you've done in my life, what you just spoke to me this morning. Somehow find a way to sneak you in on the conversation. Lord, would you just, wind of Holy Spirit, would you ignite our fire? Would you do something within us with our passion to send us out to the north and the south and the east and the west for reaping, for sowing, for being involved in the gospel, for communicating with whosoever will in the harvest call to the world? And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now he goes on to verse number 33 and he says, "Exalted," everybody say exalted, "to the right hand of God, he," Jesus, "has received," past tense, "from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out." Everybody say, "poured out." Notice it doesn't say sprinkle. You notice it didn't say sprinkle? What's the difference between a downpour and a sprinkle? You might not need an umbrella for that sprinkle. But you need galoshes and a rain suit and an umbrella in a downpour. How many of you know that that same rushing mighty wind which comes and fills the room with life is also an outpouring that needs to inundate us? We do not need to be overcome in an aftermath by that which is happening around us politically and economically. We need to be outpoured upon by the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit because we have a calling that's higher than that. We have an eternity stretched out before us and we want to see as many as possible get there. And what does this pouring out speak of? This pouring out speaks of anointing. Anointing. Everybody say anointing. Remember King David? He was anointed with oil. Do you remember Saul, the first king out of the tribe of Benjamin, anointed with oil? Now, what's the picture in your mind when you think of anointing? It's probably something like this. Let me get a little oil. Dab. Right? "Preacher, would you anoint me with oil?" Dab. And then you get a Kleenex later and go, "I got this oily spot on my forehead. The preacher prayed for me." But that's not the picture of anointing. What happened to Saul and what happened to David when they were anointed as king? The prophet took a cruse of oil. A cruse of oil. It was precious and it was costly. And it smelled good. But think of a bottle of olive oil. We're not talking about the mini bottle that go in your purse and on your keychain. We're talking a cruse of oil. And then he would upend it upon that king and let it drip down over his hair, over his face, onto his clothes, until his whole being and his clothing was saturated and soaked with that oil. How many of you know that wasn't coming out very quick? Some of you are automatically saying, "Man, I'm going to have to use Tide Pods and Shout and a couple other things to get that cleaned up. I might not ever get it clean." Don't worry about getting it clean. walk around soaked with oil, with your clothing soaked with oil, with the smell of heaven upon your garments, and realize, I need the Holy Spirit so desperately, a little dab will not do me. I've got to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I must have an oil from heaven just drenching me and covering me from head to toe. So Lord, would you do that? I just open my heart, my spirit to you. Just pray that to Him right now. I open my heart and my spirit to you right now. Would you just inundate me? Would you just flood me? I've been too satisfied with a little dab will do me. But I need the cruise of oil of the Holy Spirit to be upended on this Feast of Pentecost and drenched upon me. I need my clothing soaked, my hair matted down. I need to be soaked all the way to my shoes. I need to feel like I've had gallons of oil poured upon me. I need your anointing, and I ask for it in Jesus' name. Why was it poured out? Well, when Moses left, he laid hands on Joshua, and the anointing transferred. When Elijah left, a mantle fell from heaven, and Elisha picked it up and did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. But Jesus ascended into heaven, and for 10 days nothing happened. They waited. But after 10 days, the mantle of Jesus' anointing. How many of you just love to have the mantle of Jesus' anointing? That everywhere you go, demons cry out. People are set free. That mantle was given not to just one man, not to Peter. No, it was given to whosoever will may come. This anointing is so great, so vast, so wonderful, and so powerful that it distilled from heaven and flooded. If you could have seen in the spiritual realm, every one of those 120 people in that room were utterly drenched from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, and there was oil flowing out of the door. Why? Because Jesus' mantle of anointing is boundless and endless and limitless, and He wants it to cover His church, He wants it to cover His people, and He wants it to cover you. He wants you to be covered with His anointing. I almost want to sing that song, "Let That Mantle Fall on Me," this matchless and wonderful anointing of Jesus. Number 6, when the people heard this, what did they hear? They heard the preaching, the sharing of the gospel and the good news, and the cold hard reality of the truth by Peter. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. What brought them was the sound of them speaking in other tongues, which brought them, because they could hear them declaring the mysteries of God in their own language. Now there is a crowd gathered, and when the people heard this proclamation of the truth, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Do you hear the desperation there? These people are under such conviction of the Holy Spirit, under such a drawing of the Holy Spirit, that they can't help themselves almost. They said, "What must we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." What do we have? Bold messaging. Bold messaging. We do not have a want of bold messaging in our country right now. There's bold messaging on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all kinds of ungodliness and all kinds of sin that carries a banner and gets in your face. Now, what do the disciples do in a similar time, in an aftermath like that, in such ungodliness? They don't whisper occasionally in the most discreet ways, but they stand in a public place and proclaim to the people what their sin was. They had rejected Jesus and He was crucified. But now there's a possibility of forgiveness, and they are cut to the heart with this bold proclamation and this bold message. We're afraid that if we speak boldly to people, they won't like us anymore, not want to be our friends. My friend, don't undercut the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the great life giver. He's the great convictor of sins. You will not tell a story so effective you'll win them. But if you will speak boldly to them and not be afraid, I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll come right there with you. He'll put an arm around their shoulder. He'll speak into their heart. And while they're listening to you, they'll begin to listen to Him, and they will come under conviction. And when that happens, they'll be ready to come into the harvest. A bold message is necessary in order to have a harvest. We've got to be bold. Peter was a Galilean fisherman standing in the temple in Jerusalem, and totally inadequate and unqualified to be there, but he stood there speaking truth to rich and influential Jews from all over the Roman Empire, contrary to the wishes and desires of the leadership of the people, but he spoke it boldly. What had happened to Peter, the one who sold Jesus out? Something happened. He'd just been drenched with oil. He'd just been filled with a wind from the fire of heaven. He just had a fire kindled in his soul. He just had partaken of something at that Feast of Pentecost. Something powerful had happened. The Holy Spirit inspired him to speak a convicting message, and it worked and then worked in their heart to bring them to repentance. Let's just pray and ask for that boldness, okay? Lord, you know my personality and you know my character and you know that I don't want to be rude. I've been taught not to be rude, not to be bossy, not to get into other people's business. But Lord, I just believe that there is a bold message of salvation. There's a bold message that you need us to at times speak boldly to people, to risk with people. We're going to be afraid and intimidated, but Lord, we're looking for an anointing of a fullness of boldness to come upon us. Let Vision Church just be touched with a boldness. Let our lives be touched with a boldness and help us to share the message in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Then number 7. See, we're going to be done preaching and praying in just a minute. Number 7, and you will receive the gift. Everybody say the gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise. Everybody say promise. Is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Why are they far off? Because they're in the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're Jews and they're Gentiles. They're all over the face of the earth. And Jesus wants the gospel to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And they've just received the power and the life and the anointing and the fullness of the Spirit in order to accomplish that. He says, for all whom the Lord our God will call. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the fascinating idea, and that is that on this day, the Feast of Pentecost, it was also called the Day of the Gift. Now, this is a Jewish feast. Now, this is not post the Pentecostal experience of Acts chapter 2. This was the day of the gift. They talked about celebrating the gift of life, celebrating the gift of the Torah, right? And then the Christians would then later celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit. But there's another idea. In the Jewish wedding, how many of you heard of betrothal? Just real quick before we finish up. Just a little history lesson. You had first of all become engaged. You were actually legally married without the rights of a spouse. You were legally married. It would require a divorce to break off the betrothal. Can you imagine that? Getting engaged? But it'd be going and sign papers and you would have to get divorced in order to get unengaged, even though you had not had sexual relationship. So here we have Mary and Joseph. They were betrothed or espoused. And then here's what would happen. See if this sounds familiar. Then the groom would go to his father's house. He would build onto his father's house an apartment, an extension. And then he would have an attendant of his keep an eye on the bride, make sure no guys were trying to horn in on his bride. He would have a role of protecting her and making sure everything went well with Sally Sue while he was off. And then he would come at an unexpected time to collect his bride and to have the wedding. And they all had to be ready because they never knew when he was going to come. Does that sound familiar? And so here's what he would do, though, when he betrothed her. He would give her a very precious gift that would demonstrate to her how serious he was about going home. Because how many of you know that if you got engaged and then you didn't see him for a while, it's like, wonder what he's doing. Wonder what she's doing. We've heard of the Dear John letters, right? We've heard of that. On a ship at sea and you get the letter from the girl back in Iowa and so on and so forth. And so she had to have something that told her how serious he was, that he was not going to break that covenant and then he was going to come back and get her. And so what would he do? He would leave her a very costly, expensive, wonderful, precious gift. And then what would she do? She would be reminded every time she looked at that gift or wore that gift or put that gift on or slipped it on her finger, she would be reminded every time This right here took everything that he had. And he put it on the line for me so that whenever I feel doubt, whenever I feel like maybe he won't come get me, all I have to do is look down at that ring, look at these clothes, look at this hair adornment, look at this thing that he left me, and it reminds me, if he gave me this precious gift before he left, how much more wonderful is it going to be when he comes and gets me and takes me to be where he is? Do you see the picture? Do you feel the picture? So what did Jesus do? He laid down his life. And then he says, if that's not enough, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll leave you the gift. I'll leave you the fullness of my mantle and my anointing. I will leave you the fullness of the Holy Spirit and his sevenfold wonder that has been resting in and upon my life. And I will leave him to you so he can be with you and he can be upon you and he can be in you. So that every time you speak in tongues, you can say, there's the gift. And Jesus is coming back and he's taken me to be with him. Everything he's promised is going to happen. Even though it's been 2,000 years, it has not slipped his mind. He's coming again. But until then, every time I feel that anointing fall upon me, every time I feel them Holy Ghost doodads, every time I feel that quickening of the Spirit, every time I feel that, you know what, I didn't know why I said that, and I felt like I meant to send that, and God got the glory. Every time we obey the Holy Spirit and we feel that anointing, feel that mantle, move with that wind, feel that wind fill our lungs, every time we feel that life touch us, we are then encouraged. It strengthens the heart. It does something in our spirit. And it ministers to our spirit and strengthens us inside. Every time that Jewish bride that was betrothed would look at that ring or look at that adornment, she would say, he loves me and he's returning for me soon. And I've got to be ready because look at the gift he left me. Wow. Are you encouraged? I'm encouraged. And the Holy Spirit is here to bring a powerful encouragement. Pentecost, Shavuot, the day of the gift. So here is the conclusion. Let's all stand to our feet. The fullness of the Spirit is needed in order to bring the world to life. How many of you know we're walking amongst some dead people? There's only one answer. It's called resurrection. We've got to have, folks, we have got to have a celebration in our own life of Pentecost. We have got to have a fullness. Not just a little dab will do you. I'm telling you, folks, we're going into a time on the earth, the end of the last days. I'm telling you, things could get really nasty and dark. Hello? I know somebody said, Pastor, you wanted to encourage me. Now you're doing this. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. We can't play church. We can't fiddle around at it. We can't allow a little dab to do us. We have got to go all in. And we have got to say, Lord, I want all seven of you. I want all of this fullness of the Spirit. I want fullness of you in my life. Because there are dead people I know who need to come back to life. There are Christians who are distracted that need to be brought back to life. There are people who need a mantle. I need your help in my life. I need to do life and I can't do it on my own. I need that anointing. That fullness of Pentecost. So Lord, we just lift our hearts to you right here before we go from this place. And Lord, you are fullness. You are sevenfold, Holy Spirit. And you want to do a work of fullness in our hearts and in our lives. You want to do a work of fullness in Vision Church. You want to take every individual in this room and you want to fill us up with the wind of the Spirit. You want to baptize us with a fire. You want to put a fire in our spirit. You want to mantle us with your mantle and your anointing. You want to strengthen the heart with encouragement. You want to give bold words. You want to speak prophetic things. Lord, there's some things that you want to do in your fullness in our life. And we can't be happy any longer with a little dab will do us. We can't be happy with that any longer. This is a Pentecost. This is May the 31st. This is Pentecost on our calendar. It is Pentecost on your calendar. And on this day of this great feast, looking forward to the harvest of the end of the age, we're standing before you as harvesters. We're standing before you with arms upraised and with hearts open. And we're saying, Lord, the fullness of Pentecost. We need to be thoroughly and completely and fully filled and anointed and put on fire and speaking with boldness and going into the north and the south and the east and the west. We need to be absolutely devoted and dedicated to your kingdom and your commission. And we need your fullness. We need your fullness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you just say that word fullness on the count of three? Let's just all just say fullness. One, two, three. Fullness. Can't be empty anymore. We can't be half full anymore. We've got to be a people that are full. Amen? May the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you as you walk out into this aftermath and do so with courage and fire in your spirit. Amen? Lord bless you as you go.